This call is being recorded.
I'm here today to tell you that you have within you some of me. You want to be a Buddha, which really is an awakened one, which is one who has mastered the impulses, which is one who has mastered letting go of any of those expectations that you have of others, then you are Ascended Master Maitreya. So today we will talk about those things that will help you activate this potential within you. It is already there. It's just a matter of you identifying it, you recognizing that you do not need to follow another master. You have this mastery within yourself. It requires a discipline of actually doing it. If you are given advice by a master to, say, breathe in a certain way, and you do it for a couple of days, and then you drop it, well, guess what? You have not activating your mastery. So you are going to get some ideas today which will help you. It is totally within your choice and whether you want to master it or not. You have free will, and free will really means, are you going to let your ego get in the way or not? So that's up to you. Are you ready now? What we're going to do first here is actually talk to you a little bit about the boundaries, healthy boundaries, and being harmless to others and self. Now, a lot of the problems that come from wanting to control others is stemming from imbalances in one of a number of chakras. There is a chakra known as third chakra, which is the will. There is an overexpression of the third chakra, which will cause you to want to dominate others with your will. And this usually comes in the form of expectations of others and trying to be a perfectionist within your own environment. Well, I have news for you. We live in a sloppy universe. We live in an imperfect universe. To want to have perfection in an imperfect universe is insanity. Is anybody in disagreement with that? If you were to buy a car, if you were to buy a car that burns oil, and then you expect it to suddenly not burn oil, are you having realistic expectations? Absolutely not. It was designed to burn oil. So why do you expect something different? Part of this here is to understand that having an expectation of a perfect environment within your house, or having a perfect spouse, or having perfect children, or having a perfect day, those are expectations. So what happens when you have an expectation and it doesn't manifest? What happens? Disappointed? Frustrated? Get angry? Are all of these energies that we've just talked about, are those energies something that will come and manifest in the new earth? No. We want those energies to go away. So how to get rid of these energies? Well, we have to reduce expectations. Rid of expectation. And how we're going to do this today is we're first going to do some healing on three of your chakras. And that would be your third chakra, which is that overexpression of will and wanting to control. Your fourth chakra, which is your heart. And sometimes the overexpression of your heart chakra prevents you from creating healthy boundaries for yourself. Then there is the fifth chakra, which is an expectation of your vocation, of your purpose in life. If you have that overstated, what happens there is that you tend to want to force your soul purpose onto others. For example, let's say your vocation here is to teach other people or to heal other people, and you get frustrated because you're healing them or you're trying to heal them and they're not listening to your advice. Well, that's a frustration that could be activated by that third chakra and the fifth chakra. And when that frustration manifests itself, you may find yourself in a state of misery and despair because the people that you're trying to heal aren't healing, right? And that will get you a kind of strange voice. We have a sloppy universe in action here. Somebody who had weird background noise, you may want to mute your phone. Thank you. So what will happen is when this is over when you have lifetime after lifetime of being a healer or being a sage, and you have lifetime after lifetime of people turning their backs upon your healing and your advice, what happens? You start accumulating this energy that will need to be taken out. And this is the time to do it, because we are in the ascension pathway. And this is the time where the energies are such that this is coming up over and over again, where you're going to have these feelings of like, wow, why am I doing this? People aren't listening to me. Is anybody getting that type of feeling bubbling up?
Yes.
I would take that as a yes. All right, so if you're getting that, so this next thing that we are going to do is we are calling in Archangels Ariel and Raphael and Archangel Michael, all three heavy hitter angels, to come in and to help us heal these three chakras. And then we're going to take it to the planet and give a planetary healing similar to the one that we had last time. However, we will have three archangels working on this together. So please get yourself comfortable. Please, if you're on the phone, mute your line and get comfortable. I'll give you a few seconds and start your breathing. Breathe in. Just hold it for a couple of seconds and breathe out. Let's keep doing this. We want to get yourself into a relaxed state. Have the healings, and then afterwards we're going to talk more about boundaries. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to visualize the following colors. These are the colors of the archangels that we're bringing in. Archangel Raphael is an emerald green. So let's call in Archangel Raphael right now. And Raphael, Archangel Raphael, please come to us. Please come to me. Come into my field of vision. Now, I want you to visualize Archangel Raphael. He is in your field of vision with this emerald green energy. And it feels good. Do you feel that energy? Feel the energy. Thank you, Archangel Raphael. Archangel Raphael will be working on the heart chakra. Archangel Ariel, let's call in Archangel Ariel now. Archangel Ariel can be a man or a woman, so visualize her, him, and her energy is a forest green energy. Let's bring her in. Please, Archangel Ariel, please come in here. We invite you here today. Keep your breathing going. Now you see two archangels in front of you. Invite their legions of angels to also join. These are smaller energetic units, same color, part of their group. Invite your legions of angels, Archangel Raphael, to come into our field of vision. You see them? You feel them? I do. Wow. Archangel Ariel, we invite your legion of angels to come here with us. Now we will ask Archangel Michael to come. Archangel Michael is a blue color. His energy is blue. Let's bring Archangel Michael in. Archangel Michael, please come and join us and your brothers and sisters here. That Archangel Michael, and we invite your legion of angels to come here to join us. In your field of vision now, you see three very large archangels, and you see scores of their angels. Do you see them? They're here to help heal us all on this call and all those who listen to this recording. And all those who read this, time matters not. We ask Archangel Ariel to please step forward with your legions. Take your energy and engulf us. Feel the Archangel Ariel energy engulfing you, surrounding you in an egg-shaped energy field. Feel it now. Bring it in. Thank you, Archangel Ariel. Now, Archangel Ariel, please clean out for us our third chakra. Take out the misqualified energies of our third chakra now with your legions of angels. Visualize this black energy coming out of the third chakra, which is near the middle of your body. This third chakra, which is golden color, and visualize the energy of that third chakra being cleansed. It visualize the energy, the black misqualified energy being pulled out of it now. Ask for it. If you want it to be cleaned out, you must ask for this. Go in action. Ask for it, Archangel Ariel, to take out the misqualified energy in your third chakra. You must ask for this. Feel it. Visualize it coming out and into the energy field of Archangel Ariel, and it being transmuted into her energetic color. Visualize this. Pull it out. You have misqualified energy in the third chakra. Feel it being pulled out. You may feel visions. You may feel emotions. You may see things or thoughts or memories of the things that have caused this misqualified energy. Release it all. Just let Archangel Ariel take it away now. Going. Visualize that energy being taken out of you. I'm being told now we must wait for another 30 seconds or so for this energy to be taken out. And it will continue to be taken out of you throughout the day and night. A good 50-60% will be taken out now. Those memories that are coming, that are flashing before your eyes, those are the things that have created this overexpression of will. Pour that into your wisdom. Understand, these are the things that create overexpression of will, so that you may prevent this in your own universes that you create in the future. Thank you, Archangel Ariel. Ask Archangel Ariel to remove her energy field from yours, go forward into your vision, back and join Archangel Raphael and Archangel Michael in their legion. See her moving back into this area and her legions reforming around her. And give her thanks. Thank you. Now we will bring in Archangel Raphael for the heart chakra. This is the one that gets damaged the quickest in this environment. It's always good to have a healing. Ask Archangel Raphael to engulf you, to encapsulate you an emerald green egg of energy around you. Ask for his legion to work on you. Pull out the misqualified energies, the injurious energies that are in your heart chakra. Visualize it as that energy gets pulled out of your heart chakra. Recognize the feelings and emotions that are flowing through you as it happens. Recognize the memories that are attached to these misqualified energies. These memories and these feelings into your Akashic record, your wisdom, so that you may remember these for when you are creating your universes, so that you know
about to make a universe that is more loving and less injurious. Pull out this energy. Ask for it. This is your free will. It will not happen unless you ask for it. Me watching as that energy is pulled from your heart chakra. Now we will ask Archangel Raphael to pull back and away. Rest assured that this healing will continue throughout the day and night. Pull it back and away, Archangel Raphael. See him returning to your field of vision with the legion of his angels. Thank Archangel Raphael for the healing. Now we shall ask Archangel Michael to come in. Archangel Michael, please come in and encapsulate us. Encapsulate us in an egg-shaped field. See that blue energy encapsulating you. Feel it. Invite in the legions of angels who are also blue energy. Ask for your throat chakra to be cleared. Visualize your throat chakra. Visualize the energy coming out of the throat chakra. The black miscalibrated energy coming out now is coming out. It's coming out. It is coming into the blue energy and is being transmuted into Archangel's blue light. Visualizing this energy as it is pulled out. Pull this energy out of us, Archangel Michael, and your legion. Balance our chakra. You, Archangel Michael. Now, please ask Archangel Michael to bring his energy field out of yours, so it's back into your field of vision with his legion. We have previously worked on the chakras. The last advance, so this one requires less vibration. Now, you have in front of you three archangels with scores of angels. Now, I want you to now visualize yourself going into Earth orbit. You are looking at our beautiful planet. See her? So beautiful. She really is this universe. And ask the archangels, Ariel, Raphael, and Michael to join you in orbit, and the scores of angels. Join you. See them. Ask them. Create a grid around the planet. A grid of blue-green, emerald-green, and blue around this planet, encapsulated in the grid. See these angels as they transform themselves into a grid. Wingtip, touching wingtip, energy flowing, they're ready to heal. Let us help heal this planet now. Let us help heal it of the overexpression of will and trying to control others. Let us help heal it of being too open to allow others to control us. Let us heal it. The overexpression of our vocation, where we try to force it upon others. Ask Archangels Ariel, Raphael, and Michael to pull these energies out of the planet. Watch as this energy is being sucked out of the planet. Do you see this? Watch as these powerful angels are doing what they were built to do, which is heal. Watch this black energy being sucked from the areas of power around the globe. Watch this energy being sucked from New York and Washington, D.C., and London and Rome. Watch this energy being taken out of every corner of the planet. You need to watch as these energies are being pulled from the planet. Feel this yourself. Feel the lightning that's happening around you. These energies are being taken out and they're being transmuted into healing energy. Feel the energy leave the planet. Being taken out. Now feel it as it goes deeper into the planet underneath the planet from the crystals, from the ground, from the plant kingdom, the mineral kingdom, the animal kingdom, the earth, air, fire, water is being sucked out from every part of this planet. Feel ancient energy trapped in the planet being released. And taken away. The Source has given us special dispensation to ask for this. So ask for it to be taken away now from the by the angel. Ask for it. Ask for it and it shall occur. Take away all this energy that is. Take it away from our bodies. Take it away from our planet. It's our planet. We are born on it. We are made from Mother Earth. Please take this away, Archangel Ariel, Archangel Raphael, Archangel Michael. Take this energy away. Transmute it. It's done. Energy will be transmuted and will continue to be transmuted for the next 24 hours. Thank you, Archangel Ariel, Archangel Michael, Archangel Raphael, and your legion. Thank you. Come out of your meditation. Open your eyes. Look around. Feel refreshed and light. And know that you have asked for a beautiful thing to have happen on this planet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Archangel. Now, well, actually, Ascended Master Maitreya never left. He's actually in control here. So what would you like to say? Maitreya would like to talk now about healthy boundaries and how healthy boundaries for you means so you honoring other people's healthy boundaries. Now, I don't suggest that you rush home and go to your loved one and say, how dare you violate my healthy boundaries? Because there is a first step that we must need in order for healthy boundaries to actually work, which is to have a communication with your loved ones. And it's really the people around you that you live with is where most of the boundaries are, shall we say, invaded or violated. And really, there's no one to blame here because we've never actually ever sat down with our loved ones and said, you know, this is my safe place. This is my boundary, right? Most of us have never actually had that conversation, right? So step number one with the establishing of healthy boundaries for you is to have conversations. A conversation really you will need some time to really write this down and think about all the things that your loved ones do that you feel are invading your free will, So what is a healthy boundary? You have free will, so you have a right to make decisions as long as they don't harm others. So that's step one. So think about those things that are violating your free will. And you also have some universal rights. You have the right to live in peace and harmony with your neighbors, right? So what happens if you have somebody in your own family that's stirring up trouble with your neighbors? Well, guess what? They're violating your healthy boundaries. That's just one example of how complicated this can get. You can have a loved one who is creating problems with neighbors. So where do you go first? Where do you, right? So, yes, yeah, go first to yourself. And there's also the need to think about healthy boundaries in terms of just writing down those things that you feel that hurts you. And then take a close look at those and ask the source within, is this really a violation of a boundary, or is this my ego that is being triggered? That's second. Write down what you think has been violated and really be honest with yourself and ask source and go, am I getting violated here, or is this just a trigger point from something, right? Because you don't want to present to somebody, here are my healthy boundaries, and it looks like a fortress, right? You are not supposed to speak to me between the hours of 8 p.m. and 6 a.m., right? Those types, that's way too much. Healthy boundaries are supposed to be allowing other persons to also have a life, right? So if you make your boundaries so detailed and fortress-like and full of barbed wire and they cannot move and have to walk in eggshells around you, that means you've got too much, so you need to strip it down, right? Remember, your boundaries should not harm others. So once you've gotten your boundaries where you think are reasonable, have a conversation with your loved one. One at a time. Don't make this a group project. That doesn't work very well, especially with kids. So if you have a loved one, just have a sit down and say, you know, I'd like to talk about my healthy boundaries, right? And they may need some education on what healthy boundaries are, because you're going to want them to talk about their healthy boundaries too, right? So what are some ways that people can violate your healthy boundaries? I'm going to give you some ideas here. Let's say you're on this spiritual path, and you are now getting more involved as a spiritual leader, and you are now being invited to, say, attend a workshop somewhere, or to invite people over to your house, for example. And your partner is having problems with that. Well, you also have to balance this out. Why is your partner having a problem? Are they saying no ever, or just saying no because certain times of the week they don't want people over the house? So you really have to be mature about this conversation that you have with your partners about healthy boundaries, because maybe it's Monday night football and you don't want to have a group of Om chanters in your house during that time. Yes. So you want to keep the Monday night clean for that person's boundaries, and you might do it Tuesday night, right? So you have to work together. So the first thing is have both parties have their boundaries and work out any conflict in a peaceful manner. Now, peaceful, I say. That means don't do this while you're angry or you're emotionally upset. Find a peaceful time when both of you are in peace. That is when you do this. Not do this because you're mad. I need to talk to you about my healthy boundaries. And you're going to do it as a form of punishment. No, you do it when you're at peace. So this is where you have your healthy boundaries and your partner's healthy boundaries. And then you have to worry about your children. This is the tricky one. If you give children the right to create their healthy boundaries, what are they going to give you? Well, my healthy boundaries will be that I don't have to do any work. I would like to have a healthy boundary where my room looks like a garbage dump. So there is a caveat with children, is that you have a soul contract with children to raise them to be functioning adults. And that's what you tell them. I have a soul contract to give you the skills to be a functioning adult.
And this is how we're going to do it. Now, you can violate their free will if you are unreasonable, right? Like, I want this room cleaned in 5 seconds. That doesn't work. You might want to give them a half an hour a day, depending on how much food is underneath the bed. Right? So, again, do this in a calm space for yourself while you learn and have a meeting with your yourself or your partner, whoever's raising your children with you, to make sure you're on the same page with this. What you want to do is not to create harm. Now, with children, there is also a very special job that you have, is that they're very programmable at a young age. So if you damage them, you're going to create disqualified energy, very similar to the energies that we have taken out today. I'm sure many of you were feeling and seeing memories from childhood. Raise your hand if you saw any childhood memories flash by you. Right, so in the concept of doing no harm, what you want to do here with children is don't damage them. So give them their boundaries, their structure, and of course give them consequences, but there's no need to yell at them or hit them. You just say, okay, you didn't do that, and now the consequences are I take your Xbox away for a week. And you've already talked about that, and you just do that. That way, they're not getting injured, and they're not going to carry forward this misqualified energy into adulthood like we have, right? On the other hand, you're giving them a structure so that they don't become spoiled, rotten individuals. So everything is in balance here. I'm now going to open this up to any questions that anybody might have. First on the phone, I'll do my best. I might be an ascended master, but that doesn't mean I'm an expert on parenting. Does anybody on the phone have any questions about boundaries and harming others and expectations?
Yes, hi, can you... Oh, sorry, Master Maitreya. My question would be, what about when you have adult children? Because as mothers, we prefer to, like, rather than forcing them to do things, or you ask them to do something and they say, well, I'll do it later, and they never get to it. So it becomes easier for you to do it yourself. If you do it without any thoughts of anger or anything like that, at that point, are we violating our unhealthy boundaries?
Well, yes, you are violating your own. You're harming yourself if you decide to do it yourself. And you're harming them because these children are then given the message that if they complain enough, they don't have to do things that are their requirements to do. So what you can do is there is a concept called one rule, violation, and then consequences. So that does require, first, again, the communication of the house rules, right? How many of you have rented an apartment before or a room? Raise your hand. Or say I on the phone. What did the apartment... the landlord do? What was the first thing they did? That's right. The agreement is signed. There's a contract. There's a lot of stuff in there, isn't there? There's no parties after 12. Don't spray paint the windows. A lot of different rules, correct?
Yes.
How many of us sat down with our kids and first had the rule conversation first? How many of you have? Anybody? Yeah, I got some hands showing. We've got some rules. So that's a great thing to do. I've got a couple of parents here who've got a lot of kids. About 5 kids and 7 over here, right? 7. 7 over there, too. Did you have to put rules down?
Sure did.
Oh, and then we have the lawmaker over here. That's you. You. You're the lawgiver, lawmaker. Yes. Who's your higher self?
Oh, you tell me.
Pasadena, right? She's
all about law, right? Justice, right? This is about justice. So in order to get clear, let me ask you, you've got 5 kids?
Yes, sir.
So which one of these works? We will give you, we will get you some advice here from a lady with 5 kids. So how do you get them to do their work?
I think it might be well. Can you hear me? Yeah, it's one of them.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So, yes, my husband and I are both here. I would say he's the better parent of the two of us. Because he's the more patient one, but and very good communicator. So between the two of us, I think we do really well together. For us, we try to make our boundaries not too – we try to be very flexible. And with each kid, they're slightly different. And we I would say we really try to honor our kids' natural boundaries, but not in a way that we would allow them to dishonor ours. We kind of agree on mutual respect for each other. And as long as they're doing, you know, what they're supposed to do, they all have a daily chore that they do. And, you know, everybody helps clean up after dinner. And they're not, you know, we don't allow them to fight. But we might allow them small battles, if that makes sense, to kind of work out their own issues, and then we don't get involved unless it becomes where it could be dangerous between the two of them, or if it becomes excessive, like constant fighting with, you know, we have 2 kids that kind of constantly get on each other, so that's when we kind of intervene and talk about it. And my husband Tony is really good about just really helping people see clearly what's really happening, and have them evaluate, is this healthy for us to have this constant quarreling, or does it make everybody feel happy? And then he kind of lets them work out in their own minds why it's not okay, instead of just saying, stop fighting. It's so annoying. Stop fighting. And, you know, and then it just creates kind of more drama. He kind of settles that drama and gets them to come to the conclusion, yeah, this doesn't make me feel good. This doesn't make her feel good. This doesn't make our house have more harmony. So our goal is to have more harmony in our home. And so we don't have strict boundaries. We just have respectful boundaries. And our kids really appreciate that too, because they'll tell me about some of their friends' parents who are so strict. They can't do anything. You know, they're not allowed to do this. They're not allowed to do that. And so those kids end up rebelling against their parents and sneaking out and doing things that they, you know, could be harmful to their kids, because they're afraid of their parents to even ask them permission for simple things, because they always get a no answer. Where for us, it's pretty much always a yes answer, unless it's going to be dangerous for them. And at that point, we explain to ourselves why. And I remember growing up, my mom would always say, because I said so. And that just pissed me off, to be honest, because I didn't understand what is because I said so mean, just because you decide you're going to control me. And so we always try to explain to our children why, if we are going to say no, and we make sure it's a good reason. Otherwise, we want them to experience life. We want them to experience relationships with friends and activities. And, you know, I'm not going to be so strict. We have to be home by 9 every single night. But on a school night, you got to be home by 9 and really in bed by around 9, because we get up early. So it just kind of depends on the situation. We try to be flexible.
What are the consequences?
Well, honestly, we don't have a lot of consequences, because typically they obey. They don't. But if, you know, let's say we catch them and they're on their cell phones in bed when they're not supposed to be, well, then they might lose their cell phone for a day or a week, depending on how it is.
There is a consequence.
So there's natural consequences to the thing. Oh, go ahead.
I'm just going to jump in here. So my belief is that your home should mirror the real world. So if people use good judgment in the real world, they open up more doors, they open up more opportunities for themselves. If you have a child that knows what the rules are, but they refuse to accept accountability for those rules and put forth the energy and the effort in order to create what you're trying to create as a family, then they'll lose opportunity. So I think the worst thing that you can do as a parent is to set boundaries and then not follow through. That being said, you shouldn't have excessive punishments. Because what you're doing a lot of times when you find yourself being angry and punishing a child in the middle of your anger is you're actually indoctrinating them with your own issues. And so when you set your boundaries, like cleaning your room or whatever, if those don't get done, then they lose their privileges. And it's not done in a mean way. It's done in a very matter-of-fact way. And in fact, a lot of times I explain to my kids ahead of time, look, if you don't want to clean your room, that's fine. But then you're not going to be able to do these other things. And I'm going to have to clean your room. And if I clean your room, then here are the consequences. And I'll let you make that choice. And I think it's important that you don't take away your children's choice, because then later in life, they start to feel like their will was taken away. You have an overly strict parent, and their will is taken away. And then they don't know how to exercise their will appropriately when they get older. And so you have to give them enough freedom that they can exercise their will within certain boundaries. And they've got to have enough leash that they can hurt themselves, but not hurt themselves badly. And enough leash that they can also exceed your expectations. Because if you have your control so tight that they are not able to use their creativity, their own natural talents, and things like that, then they can never exceed your expectations either. And the other thing I would say that I try to be careful of is not to ever tell my kid that they're a certain way. Like if they don't do their homework, I try not to ever say something along the lines of, you're being completely stupid about your homework. Okay, because what they take in is, I'm stupid. And then they have an excuse for not doing their homework. Well, I don't do my homework because I'm stupid. Even mom tells me I'm stupid. Or dad tells me I'm stupid. And so, you know, I think a lot of thought has to go into how you manage your kids and set those boundaries. That's just my personal opinion. And as I look back in my own childhood and I see my own issues that I have as an adult stemming from certain situations, it's easy to see, okay, here's where I need to be careful, you know. But I guess long story short, always make sure you follow through. Because if you don't follow through, then there's no real consequence, and they're never going to learn that lesson. But be open with them and communicate. Don't try and punish. It's just, it is what it is. They get out into the real world, and they don't want to show up to work. They don't make money. You know, they don't take care of their apartment. They get kicked out, and they get fined, and they have a whole bunch of money to pay. And so cleaning your room is a small, small lesson. But
thank you, Tony. Does that help answer your question?
Yes and no, because I did all that when my kids were young, and then I have three. It's just the one that has just decided that his life is his life, and he doesn't have to do any chores if he doesn't want to. He doesn't have to contribute to general living areas. So when I started my spiritual journey, I realized that rather than getting frustrated and nagging, I decided that I will clean up where I need to use, and I will do what I have to do in order to make my life as comfortable as I want it. But if he doesn't want to clean his room, if he doesn't want to clean his portion of the bathroom, I'm okay with that. It doesn't bother me anymore. So I guess that's where my question was coming from.
I'm so happy that you mentioned this. This is very common amongst those who are on the spiritual path, because as you rise into your open heart chakra, we have a tendency to become more and more forgiving. But we get a little mixed up when it comes to children, because it is actually our responsibility to maintain that framework for them so that they become functioning adults. So we're actually not upholding a divine practice there by telling a child, okay, I'm okay with you not cleaning your part of the bathroom, or I'm okay with you not cleaning your bedroom. Because what you're doing there is that you are now programming your child, however old that child might be, with this idea that I don't have to do anything. So who is actually in charge of that child now?
Mm-hmm.
That child's ego is now totally in control, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Is that where you want your child to be, totally under the dominance of ego?
No.
No. So part of taming the ego is helping our children understand that there are consequences. So you've already told your child that it's okay for you, that there will be no consequences for the bathroom and for the bedroom and for common areas. So the advice here, which you may take or leave, coming from this vessel, is to have a conversation about consequences and know that this is part of your soul contract with this child. How old is your child?
She's 24.
He's a man.
I just happened to live with him.
Okay.
I mean, he's a good boy. He can do what he needs to do. I know I taught him how to cook for himself, clean for himself. So when he wants to clean, he will do it. But it's when.
Okay, so you have a decision to make. Do you want to continue living the way you're living? Or would you like to help your son develop those divine responsibilities that will help him become somebody who has an ego that is under control? Which is your choice?
Somebody that has an ego he can control.
Very good. So part of that is for you now to understand that your responsibility is, since this person is living with you, although he's an adult, so it's a little bit different now, you actually have more free rein to say, here are my boundaries, and if you don't like my boundaries, please leave. Because
mm-hmm.
at that age, he can easily join something like the Air Force, and that'll make him an adult very quickly. As a matter of fact, think about the Air Force. This is my commercial for the United States Air Force. They are a non-combat operation. 99% of those jobs are non-combat. You have a 99% probability of winding up on a base somewhere in the United States in an office. If you don't like office work, you can always fix an airplane. I have two cousins who are retired Air Force. Wonderful individuals, not spoiled. I have a nephew who just joined the Air Force. Before the Air Force, spoiled. After the Air Force, not spoiled. So ends my commercial. So at the age of 24, are you doing him any favors?
Are you enabling him?
Yeah. So now understand that there is your spiritual path, and then there's healthy boundaries for you. Allowing your healthy boundaries to be invaded by another who is being self-serving is enabling the self-server.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make a decision. You wish to continue to enable selfish behavior in another?
No.
That is the end of that question.
Thank you.
Questions?
Thank you very much for your contribution, everyone.
Thank you. That was a great question. That was what was needed for this conversation. Thank you. Let's have a round of applause for that question. We have any others
you'd
like to have who are in a quandary over something? Because this helps everyone. Your quandary will touch the lives of many if we get it out in this format.
Yes, Maitreya, I do have a question. I was wondering if you could give guidance to us light workers as we move on to our next phase, which will be helping to heal the hearts, the minds, and the souls of the people of the earth. You know, we go and we start working with the homeless people and just the people who have been, everyone who has been so harmed by all of the evil in this world. Can you tell us how we can protect our own hearts and maybe put up boundaries there so that we can maintain a higher vibrational level?
These are excellent questions. And this question has an answer. There is an answer to this. And the answer to this is respect that other person's free will. When you come across somebody who is, let's say, homeless, and you feel it within your heart, I want to have a conversation with this person, you can always ask that person, do you wish for help? They'll either say yes or no. If they say no, you say have a good day and move forward, because they are working on their journey that you don't know anything about. If they say yes, then you ask, do you believe in a higher power that can help you? They say yes. Now you're cooking. Now you've got something to work with. If they do believe in a higher power, ask them to ask Source to help them. Because you might not be in the situation to help that person. But if that person asks for Source, for help from Source, there is an operating rule within this universe that help will come. Not necessarily from you. It could come the next second with somebody coming by to provide help to that person. Because we are all one. So when one aspect of Source asks for help of Source, another aspect of Source that is perfectly aligned to that person's need will show up. So there, you are not here to help everybody, but you can help by identifying whether or not they're willing to ask for help from Source, and then asking them to ask for help from Source. Is there anybody here in this room that would like some help from Source? Raise your hand. Very good. That's all I ask. Dear Source, please help me with my issue. Now, Source is going to come in some way, shape, or form if you've made that ask, and will help you. And now, Source is very practical about it. It may be in a way that your ego doesn't like, but that's the way life goes.
I think one good way, too, instead of just going up to everybody, because a lot of people just think you're crazy, you know, can I help you with something or whatever, I just make it an intention that I will attract the people to me that I have the gifts that will help them in some way. And then I just let the universe bring it to me. And I know when people show up, they're there because I can help them. When I used to have I did booths where I would do natural wellness, and I didn't stand out there and promote myself. I just sat there, and I knew the people that would come to me were the ones that I was supposed to help and that I was able to help. And I mean, I had people come up to me and they'd be like, I don't even know anything about you or what you're doing here, but I saw you and there was a light glowing around you and I was told I was supposed to come talk to you and that you could help me. And it would be like that blatantly obvious that those were the people that I had something that I could offer back to them that would assist them in their life and what they're doing. And so then I was able to just kind of take it away from me and not have to, you know, try to help people that was just ended up being a waste of my time. And their time as well, and not serving their highest good or mine. And I just allowed the natural energy to pull the right people to me. And I still do this, and it always works beautifully. And I figure my role in it is just to unconditionally love everybody and to just be a light. And whoever my lighthouse attracts that feels right for them too, then those are the people that I'm here to help. And so that's just how I do it, if that helps.
That is actually an excellent suggestion, and I will mention one thing, that you can ask Source to triage the people that need to come to you for help, which is what you're doing, which is, please, Source, bring to me those that I can help most effectively. And if that will help, when you surrender the management of that to Source, it will just flow naturally. And the people that will come to you will actually, you will have something for them, and you'll know what it is that will help them at that point in time. And that is the best way to help, because you're allowing Source to manage it, because each one of us has ways that we can help people. So who's up for surrendering that, the management of that thesaurus right now. Okay, so let's do this. All right, repeat after me. I surrender.
Surrender.
The management of who I need to help.
So
that's all you got to do. Doris will bring to you those people that you need to help.
Okay. I have a question on this, Maltreya. This is Lorelei.
Yes.
So a few weeks ago, I put myself out on the line for this particular group as a source to help people. My intention was not like as a money-making opportunity. My intention was to fulfill on my soul's contract because I have very, very powerful ability and skills and talents in having people get what's in their way out of the way. I checked in with Source, and I got a very strong yes to offer this on the line. And it wasn't received, it was received as if it was a solicitation. And I get that, like, from where the other person sits, this looks like a violation of their boundaries, of what they've decided is appropriate for this group. And from where I sit, it looks like a violation of my boundaries. Like, I have a soul's purpose, and I'm being told by my source to offer this out, and I'm being told I cannot fulfill on my soul's purpose. So there's a question there. Like, we're talking about this boundaries thing. We're talking about giving it up to God, and I did. I checked it out before I did it. So what do you see inside of that?
What I see inside of this is exactly what we asked Archangel Michael to clear, which is your fifth chakra, where you are overexpressing your soul purpose, and you're unintentionally tromping upon other people's boundaries. Now, it's nothing to be worried about. That happens. And the other person redefined the boundaries of the group, and that's okay too. So now that you have surrendered the management of bringing people to you, now you don't have to worry about it. Your ego does not have to manage this anymore. They will come to
you. All
right,
well, what do you make of the fact that when I checked in with Source and was guided to put it out there?
Ah, well, you know, Source works in mysterious ways. You know, sometimes Source knows that you putting it out there is a great thing because you did plant a seed. The fact that there was a boundary redefinition that was accompanied by it is an extra bonus for you. Do you know why? Because you got triggered by it. Something to surrender.
Okay. Yes, I got that. Totally.
You got
okay.
a bonus out of that.
Got it. Oh, totally got it. Okay. All right, so every time I get a yes from Source doesn't mean necessarily that the thing that I think is going to come out of it is the thing that's going to come out of it.
The suggestion here when talking to Source is continue the conversation because Source is telling me to always have more of a conversation with me instead of just getting yes or no answer. You can always say, what is the best way or what is the highest of all way that I can do this?
Okay, yes. Oh, that's so great. Thank you. Okay. Oh, I so get that. All right. Okay. So okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. We have a hand raised here. It's already got it. Thank you so much. Are there any other questions or comments before we close this out?
I have one.
Yes.
So,
We want to hear this lady.
Okay, so my experience in life is intention is everything. So we have to be conscious, aware beings, we have to know what our intention is. So what our motivation is, in other words. So when we have an action or we want to do something, it's important to know what our intention is. And that's ultimately how we become more conscious as beings, is to know what our intention is. I'm listening. I have four grown children, and they're all pretty independent. But I also know that I was very overprotective. But I became overprotective because of an imbalance in the household. So the other thing is, and this is my, I really think this has real importance, that discipline must be meted out with love.
Yes.
And when discipline is meted out for the sake of discipline, it falls on deaf ears. And the individual that is receiving the discipline will rebel because it's not couched in love. So as beings, I believe that we must open our hearts when we are showing another individual something or trying to be clear or trying to create boundaries. If it's not done out of love, it will not work. So that's my experience.
Thank you so much. We have one more comment before we close out the channel.
Okay. Well, now I have children. One 60. My oldest is 60.
Oh, my gosh. You're too young for that.
Thank you. And the thing is, see, now, it's too late, really, for me now, see. But I have had to realize you start your child at 4 years old, around that age, not wait till they're teenagers, and then decide that you may have to do something about this. And they start acting it out by that time, that you have failed some way, maybe not use the word fail. We're not supposed to be using those kind of negative words, but that's the way I saw it. Now,
Go ahead.
That's okay.
I thought you were done.
And so now when I look back, my children are very independent. There was 5 girls and 2 boys, and 1 passed, was stillborn. And I play-acted a lot. I put myself in, like, Wonder Woman role. And I'd say, Wonder Woman's here. Do not fear. And I got a lot done by play-acting when they were little. And not use me, but this character that I was. And I solved a lot of problems with them. And then when they got up in teenagers, by that time, they knew what was expected of them from love, like she was saying. And I had to learn. I mean, my first one was a guinea pig, because that's what I always said, because I didn't know. They don't teach you how to raise children. If you don't have a family of loving parents to help you learn how to be a parent, and I did not have that, because I was, you know, not with my parents at all, and I was raised by other people. And so, but I could read, I could study if I wanted to, and that's how mainly I learned. There's no excuse for us not to be good parents. And another thing I learned, there was one child I had, which was my son, that I think women, I'm talking from my experience, sometimes we enable our sons for some reason, and that can harm them. And when they're up like 24 years old, as I'm saying this, I'm not picking out any individual, and we do everything for them and want to do everything for them, what we're really doing, it makes us feel good.
Yeah.
And what does that tell me? I'm being selfish. And that is where I learned I had to let my son go. We have to cut that cord when they're born. And he's turned out really, I'm really proud of him now, but he was, didn't want to do anything. He was irresponsible. He wanted to mooch off of his parents and this and that. And we let them. We're not helping them. We are really disabling them.
And I want you to think about this in closing comment, is how Source, who is our ultimate parent, what does Source do for us? Source gives us the latitude to develop ourselves so that we become responsible beings. And that's what this really rough environment that we're in is all about. because when you graduate from this environment, you are a very compassionate being. You know about boundaries. You know about will. And you know about love. And you know about acceptance. Thank you all for this call. Lord Maitreya. And releasing this channel.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.